The Ascension of the Lord is one of those feast days that I think can just leave us in a whole lot of confusion as to what and when and what it's all kind of about. And I don't think that the way that the church has celebrated it over the years, insisting initially that it was on the 40th day after the resurrection. So we used to have Ascension Thursday when I was a kid. In 1992, the Australian bishops were one of the first conferences of bishops to ask to move it to today, the seventh Sunday of Easter. Because when you fix it just to a particular date, like in a fairly fundamentalist way, you kind of brush over a whole lot of detail. I mean, even Luke, whose account we hear today in the Acts of the Apostles, who tells us that it was for 40 days that Jesus did these things of appearing to the disciples, teaching them, proclaiming the kingdom, forming them, shaping them. But when you read the end of his gospel in Luke 24, when all of those events happen with the road to Emmaus and then the disciples come back and they're all gathered in the upper room, he tells us that he then takes them outside to Bethany and then ascends to heaven, it seems, on Easter Sunday itself. There is no ascension of Jesus in the Gospel of John. It's just he is so completely with the Father that there is this ability to be present in both realms at once. And indeed, in the Gospel of John, the gift of Pentecost really happens at the cross, when Jesus is there breathing out the Spirit, and then again on Easter Sunday morning, all of this kind of comes together. So first, we need to start thinking not in these concrete physical ways. That hasn't served us well. If you were here early enough, you would have seen an image that I kind of grew up with, which was an image of the Ascension, where Jesus is kind of there. You got all the disciples gathered around, and all you really see is one of the feet of Jesus kind of poking out through the cloud as he disappears from our sight. And that's really not a helpful image, because if we think of the Ascension in terms of absence, that he's gone away somewhere, as one wag said this week, you know, this is when Jesus begins to work from home rather than being at the office every day. But no, we get the wrong idea completely if we think of it simply as he's gone somewhere else, because then he's not available to us. But when we think of things simply in terms of geography and physicality, we get the completely wrong idea. Because this isn't about Jesus disappearing from our lives. It's about him being now even more present, that he's available to us, that he longs to be part of our lives. He longs to fill us in such beautiful and wonderful ways in that intimacy that is only now possible because he is now in this new reality of heaven. And heaven, again, is not somewhere else. Heaven is simply the domain where God exists and lives, and where we're able to encounter the God who lives and moves and has our being. In God, we can find our presence. In God, we can find our purpose, which is why Paul is so insistent in our reading from Ephesians today of the absolute necessity for us to maintain this unity of presence, to allow the gifts of the Spirit to be unleashed upon our church, to allow us to experience the wonder of his grace and his goodness. And that will be revealed and manifested in different ways among us. Some will be preachers, some will be teachers, some will be prophets, some will be healers, some will work the mighty signs of God's work. But whatever way that God might reveal God's self to you, in whatever way God is present to you, he wants you to experience that love in a way that changes us, that transforms us, and allows us to keep that unity and to share that love and that gift with those around us. that this transformation is not just for our own sake, just so that we get that nice warm buzz thinking about God, but this slow transformation that allows the kingdom of God to be experienced and revealed within our own lives and within our own experience, so that we can then share it and proclaim it with those around us. And that it will be at times where these mighty works of God will be revealed in those signs and wonders that we hear about at the end of Mark's gospel. This transformation is about the way of God being present to us. So on this day, when we celebrate and honor that day that Jesus returned to be with the Father, to sit at the right hand of the Lord, to be part of that heavenly throne where he's able to then be truly present to us in the world, that the physical boundaries are no longer enough to constrain him, that he's now able to be present to us in whenever we turn to him, whenever we long for him, whenever we seek him, the Lord will be found, and he's able to be present in a way that changes us and transforms us. As we long for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come next weekend, as we long for that change that happens when we experience that new life and that goodness of the Lord, let's pray, and indeed, that we will long for God to come, that we will experience the new life of the Holy Spirit being unleashed within us, and that we will experience this presence of God. Rather than just focusing on his absence, we will allow the Lord to hold us, to sustain us, as we long for his presence and his peace to come and fill us this week.